Good morning and welcome to Calvary. We're glad to see all of you. It's good to be in the Lord's house. We survived again, make it back. Couple quick announcements. Wednesday night is the men's Bible study, even though it does not say it in the bulletin because I guess I hit enter too many times when I did that. But it's at 6:30 in my office. Make sure you come be a part of that. We have a really good time, but we don't laugh as much as the ladies do. So make sure you're here for that. Take note in the mentor care program. If you're not familiar with that, it's a program we're involved with Heritage High School. Jamie Hafer will tell you all you want to know about it, but it's incredible what our church body does and the number of kids that we help for that. So that's only because we give. And thank you for doing that. Those of you who do, if you want to get involved and you want more information, see that lady and she'll tell you how to, she'll take your money. So next Sunday is Tanner's court of honor as he's going to be an Eagle Scout. So if you can be a part of that, make sure you're here as we support him. And today's our last message in Created for Significance. So I'm glad you're here part of that. We're going to be talking about heaven. And I don't know about y'all, but I'm ready to go. But let's open the service with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for creating us for significance. And you have a plan and a purpose for our lives. And as we come into this room now, let us set aside our distractions. Cleanse our hearts and our minds, and let us be focused in worshiping you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Sing all three verses.
Yeah.
Pray with me. Father, we thank you that we have something incredible to look forward to. And there is a shore that we're going to meet you on and be with you forever. And Father, we praise you and thank you for that. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Be seated. Like I said a few minutes ago, this is the last message in Created for Significance, and you are. And the focus of this is a parable where Jesus talks about heaven and hell. Because you were created for heaven. But have you ever thought about the fact that the only people who don't go to heaven are the ones that don't want to? Think about that for a minute. And let's worship a God who is worthy of our praise.
He has this name written, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Revelation 19, verse 16. Given.
Prince of Peace. all this suffering, there's a better place waiting for me in heaven. Every tear will be wiped away, every sorrow and sin erased.
Pray with me. Father, as we open your word, open our hearts, open our minds and draw us to you, and let the words that are spoken be yours, and let us hear and be changed and be more like you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. When you hear the word home, what do you think about? Comfort. You know, I've traveled outside of the U.S. a couple of times in my life. And I always have this uneasy feeling that I'm not where I belong. Does that make sense? You're sometimes in a place where you don't understand the language, you don't understand the culture, you don't understand. And so there's this, I don't fit in here. That's the feeling we should have about being on this planet, that we don't fit in here, that something's, I'm not where I belong. We were all created for significance, and we were created to spend eternity in heaven with God. That's His design for you. If that's not what you want, then you don't have to do that. And you say, what? I said a minute ago, the only people who don't go to heaven are the ones who don't want to. And we're going to explore that further because it makes your head explode a little bit. But this parable that we're looking at today, to me, is the most heartbreaking parable of all. Of all of Jesus' teaching, this one just, it's heartbreaking. Turn with me to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. We're going to finish this series and finish Jesus' teaching with a parable that is pretty amazing, and there's a lot to it. So we're going to start Luke 16, and I'm going to start reading at verse 19. Jesus said, "There was a certain rich man who was splendidly clothed in purple and fine linen, and who lived each day in luxury. At his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, who was covered in sores. As Lazarus laid there longing for scraps from the rich man's table, the dog came and licked his sores." Now, a couple things I want to point out here. This is the only parable where Jesus ever named somebody in the parable with a name, Lazarus. So there, scholars will debate this, and we don't know whether he was telling a story about somebody that he knew, because why would he name the poor man? We don't know. It's just a thought. But get this picture in your head. The rich man has everything he wants, everything he needs, and has a beautiful home, and they would have gates that would enter into their property. And this man, the poor man, was laid at his gate every day. Every day. Think about that. He's there. Why is he there? Why do they put him there every day? I'm sure there were a lot of people coming and going from this rich man's property. But there are also the idea that there are people that are laid at your gate every day. And this man longed for, it said he longed for just scraps. The rich man got to the place where he just ignored him. He knew he was there, but he just didn't pay me any attention. He went on with his life. He became callous to this man who was so in need and right outside his door. Look at the story. Finally, the poor man died and was carried by angels to sit beside Abraham at the heavenly banquet. The rich man also died and was buried, and he went to the place of the dead. So imagine this, and you got to get in your head who Abraham is, okay? In terms of our faith, in terms of our beliefs, Abraham's called the father of our faith. And where's his spot at the table of the heavenly banquet? It's pretty significant. It's pretty significant. And this poor man who spent his life begging gets taken to be right beside Abraham. That's pretty significant. The rich man dies and goes to the place of the dead. So let's think about this. I'm back with the chairs. This one is a tough one for us in the world, especially the society which we live today. Because I grew up in a time where you were expected to take account for your actions. Right? Many of you grew up like that. If you did something, you were expected to be accountable for that. Now, the world wants this perfectly happy ending where everybody goes to heaven. Okay? In fact, if you want an open door into people's beliefs and you want an open door to witness to them, ask them what they think about heaven. Okay? It's pretty amazing. In fact, I have a video of people being asked that. I want to show you, and then we'll talk about it. But watch this.
Do you believe in a heaven?
Yes.
Okay, and what's it like there?
Ooh, haven't gone that far into thinking about it. I couldn't tell you that.
Who do you think gets to go to heaven?
Everyone, I would say.
What is heaven like? Well, I really don't know exactly what it's like, you know, but in a sense, it is like for each individual, personal thing for every individual. As far as their life is concerned, as you live, you can make your own heaven.
Surrounded by your glory. In your opinion, how do you get to heaven?
God chooses you, brings you to the light, says, come on for me, I'm taking you up.
In your opinion, who gets to go to heaven?
People that's given their life to Jesus, and that's doing right.
Do you believe in a hell?
Not really. I just believe that people that don't get to go to heaven, I really don't know where they'll be.
Do you believe in heaven?
Yes.
Okay. In your opinion, what's it like?
Well, I guess it would be, I don't know, like the Bible says, you know, the greatest streets of gold. God take care of everybody and everybody be happy.
How do you get there?
Well, you better live a pretty good life.
Do you believe in heaven?
Sometimes.
Okay, what do you mean by sometimes?
I don't know. It's hard to explain. It's kind of depending on the day I'm having. Sometimes, yeah, I'll believe it. Sometimes I won't.
In your opinion, who gets to go to heaven?
I don't know. Who am I to judge? No idea.
Do you believe in a heaven?
I believe in heaven. Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
And what's it like there?
It's, I don't know.
Hard to say.
It's a good life. It's, there is no taxes. There is no dollars.
No money.
A lot of beautiful women. A lot of beautiful women.
Oh, thanks.
What's less beautiful than my wife?
Do you believe in an afterlife?
Yes. Yes, and as a matter of fact, it seems to me that reincarnation, although I don't really subscribe to that, but that makes a lot of sense. It's recycling.
Do you believe in a heaven?
Sure.
No, you're asking. Get a can of worms right here.
I wouldn't call it heaven. I believe something out there, sure.
And what's it like?
What's it like? Maybe, have you ever seen the movie Defending Your Life? it's sort of like a way station as you go on to some other life, and where you kind of look back on what you did and see if you've learned or not. But it's not like a heaven.
Do you believe in a hell?
Not really.
I can only imagine when all I would do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine.
Everybody wants to believe in heaven, and nobody wants to believe in hell. Why? Because everybody wants good. And have you ever heard anybody tell you, how could a loving God send anybody to hell? Listen to this. I read this week, and it is incredibly profound. Hell exists so that people who have chosen to live their life without God can have what they want for eternity. People who have chosen to live their life without God can have what they want for eternity. Wow. The only people who don't go to heaven are the ones that don't want to. Who've chosen to live their life Remember this song? It was a Frank Sinatra song. Elvis did it better. But my way. You can't have life your way and God's way at the same time. So, if you want it your way, we serve a God who will let you have it your way. Let's keep going. Finally, the poor man died and was carried by the angels to sit beside Abraham at the heavenly banquet. The rich man also died and was buried and went to the place of the dead. There in the torment, he saw Abraham in a far distance with Lazarus at his side. The rich man shouted, "Father Abraham, have some pity. Send Lazarus over here to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. I am in anguish in these flames." Why did he call out to Abraham and not Lazarus? Have you ever thought about that? Why? See, what happened to this man is Lazarus was laying at his doorstep day after day, and he became callous to him. And he also got this mentality that I'm better than him. I'm not that. I'm better than that. And it is something that we as humans have to guard against, because what we like to do is compare ourselves on and where we are on the scale. I'm not as bad as that person. I'm not like that. But God's scale doesn't work like that. And at this moment, even in hell, this man still thinks he's better than Lazarus. So he calls out to Abraham, "Abraham, send Lazarus over here." Look what Abraham says. "But Abraham said to him, 'Son, remember that during your lifetime you had everything you wanted and Lazarus had nothing. So now he is being comforted, and you are in anguish. And besides, there is a great chasm separating us, and no one can cross over to you from here, and no one can cross over to us from there. Okay. Think about this. I don't know if it's going to be like this. I hadn't been there yet. But can you imagine being in hell and being able to see heaven? That has to be unfathomable. And he's close enough to talk to Abraham. And Abraham have a conversation with him. I don't know if that's what it's going to be like, but that's what Jesus has laid out here in this. And he said, there's a divide, and we can't get there. Let's go on. Verse 27. Then the rich man said, please, Father Abraham, at least send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, and I want to warn them so that they do not end up in this place of torment. But Abraham said, Moses and the prophets have warned them. Your brothers can read what they wrote. The rich man replied, no, Father Abraham, but if someone is sent from the dead, then they will repent of their sins and turn to God. And Abraham says, if they won't listen to Moses or the prophets, they won't even be persuaded if someone rises from the dead. I believe that the worst part of hell is that God is not there. And we don't know an existence of that nature. Even if you or I decide that I don't want God in my life and I'm going to live it my way, we are still in a place that God and the Holy Spirit is moving. But when you get to hell, he's not there. And the interesting thing about this rich man that I think we need to take note of, this is a good man. Okay? By all standards, this is a good man. When he ends up in hell, there's never a point that you hear him saying, I don't deserve to be here. I shouldn't be here. I did all these things. Why am I here? You don't hear that out of him. And what you also hear out of him is a concern for his family. He's come to grips with his fate, and what he's asking is, help my family so they don't end up here. That's a good man. That's a man who is in hell for eternity and he's worried about somebody else. That should quicken us to think there's a lot of good people who are going here because they want their life their way, and they've chosen to live it without God, so God's going to give them what they want. People always say, why would God send anybody to heaven? Why would God send anybody to hell? God sends nobody to hell. He doesn't. We choose to go there because we don't want to be with him. So think about this man who had everything on earth he could possibly want. And he's a good man. He's living a good life. He's probably not murdered anybody. He's probably not hurt anybody. He ignored Lazarus. That may be the worst thing he did, other than living his life in a way that he told God, I don't want you in it. So what is Jesus trying to teach us, those of us who are going to heaven because we're trying to live our life God's way? What's he saying to us? What are we supposed to take out of this parable? Number one, and most importantly, is we need to understand that there are people at our doorstep who are living a good life, who are good people, like the people in that video seem like good people, but they don't have a clue. And it's up to us to tell them. It's up to us to warn them. It's up to us to point them in the direction of heaven. Because God's ultimate desire is that we all end up there. That's what He wants. Every one of us are fearfully and wonderfully made by Him, and He wants to spend eternity with us. But for those people who are living a good life and they don't want God in it, God's going to give them an eternity of what they want. The problem is, and what we have to be about His business is, they don't know what they're asking for. They don't know what they're asking for. And we do. And we have to tell them. We can't walk by the people who have put in our path and put in our lives and not tell them, because we don't want to hurt their feelings or not want to offend them or not want to lose them as a friend. What kind of friend would you be? You know, Misty and I have traveled a lot in our lives and gone into a bunch of different cities, and I promise you, I don't know how this happens, and I'm sure you've had this experience, but if you get lost in a city that you're not familiar with, there is a 100% chance that you will end up in the worst part of that city, no matter what. No matter what. I have seen the ghetto in almost every city in America by accident. You know why? Because I didn't know where I was going. There are a lot of people in this world who think they are living good lives, and they have no idea where they're going. Because they just want a life that's their way. That's the first thing God's telling us. It's about us telling them. Because if we don't tell them, who's going to? And it's our responsibility. The second thing that I think Jesus wants us to understand is that God loves us enough and has given us complete free will to choose whatever kind of life we want in eternity. You get what you want. And I think the last thing, because this parable ends abruptly, that's the end of it. Abraham says, if they won't listen to Moses and the prophets, they won't be persuaded even if someone rises from the dead. If they are hell-bent on living their life their way, imagine this. God loves them enough to let them do that. And how heartbreaking that has to be for Him. For those of you who have kids, and I'm completely convinced that God has set up our life in a way to help us understand Him. And what I mean by that is, if you have kids and you watch them make mistakes and you want to keep them from it so badly, and they have made up their mind to do it their way, and there comes a point in time that you have to love them enough to let them do it their way, even if you know they're going to get hurt and your heart is broken over it. But if you love them, you will let them make their mistakes. God wants every one of us right here. And the reason that He wants us right here, and the reason that you want to keep your kids from making their mistakes, is that you know a better way. And it's what Jesus is telling us. If you want to live your life in the best way possible, do it God's way. You're going to get everything you want and more. And you're going to have eternity in heaven. But we have to tell people. Pray with me. Father, we thank You that You loved us enough to provide a way of redemption for our sins. And You've paid the price. And You want us with You in eternity forever. I thank You for the lives in this room that You have made that way for. And I pray that we leave this room with a newfound determination to keep everybody from hell that we can. Let us go and tell. And it's in Your name we pray. Amen.